Blog Talk Radio.
Get caught bebopping to that song, man. It's pretty awesome. Hey, everybody. Thanks for being here. It's been a heck of a month since we were here last together. Brandon, how are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
It's been a day, but I tell you what, we're sure hope everyone is doing okay and staying safe out there. Hopefully very soon life will get back to normal as it can get, and we can all get back to ghost hunting. That's the deal. So, first of all, I want to say thank you, Teal, for allowing us on this radio show. Thanks to Be Healthy and Pam Summers for sponsoring the show. Y'all go see her at Be Healthy Nutrition Store there off 377 in Granbury. Y'all, let me tell you, I'm very excited about who we got today. Today we have our paranormal brothers here from another ghost mother. And with us today is Chris Smith and Mike G. from the Tennessee Ray Chasers, Travel Channel's Haunted Towns, Ghost Asylum. Last time we saw these guys was at our special event in January here in Granbury a few months ago, where we raised, and thanks to these two awesome patriots, money for Battle Forge Nation, benefiting our vets, putting awareness for 22 a day suicide rate. Guys, how are you guys doing?
Man, we are hanging in there. How you doing?
Man, doing the same, man, trying to rock and roll, get through all this crap, and hopefully get back to ghost hunting like we said.
Oh, yeah, ain't lying.
Man,
it's
you
a
guys
different
are in
a whole different life now. What's that?
Yeah, you guys are used to going to solid every weekend for the most part, right? So it has to be terrible for you guys right now.
Man,
we
my suitcase in almost 2 months.
Yeah, I think my suitcase is probably mad at me. It feels neglected.
It's like, why am I sitting in the closet for 2 straight months? Not right.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like if we're the first couple weeks, it's like, you know, this is not bad. I'm getting to spend more time at home. You know, I have a new little one. You know, 3 months
right.
today.
Congrats on the birthday,
like,
baby!
Congratulations,
yeah, man. So it's good times there, and it's like, you know, spending some nice quality time at home and all that. Then by the third week, it's like, I spent some quality time. I need to get back out. You know, and here we are 2 months later, still doing the same thing. But I think as long as we all play ball and stay safe, we'll be back at it before we know it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, I still haven't even unpacked my toiletry bag. Like, it just doesn't feel right. Like, we're on the road so much, I don't even fully unpack when I come home, because just in a couple days after that, you got to pack again, and it's still sitting on my sink, and I'm still living out of the toiletry bag.
Hey, I totally understand that. Been in the Army for 22 years and going to the field training, you just come back and you just throw it in the corner and get ready to go again or whatever.
Yep.
Man.
Oh, time to go to the field again? Oh, man. All right, time to pack up. Oh, I'm already packed. Let's go.
Yep.
That's right. That's right. So how's the quarantine life treating you guys, other than just – are you doing anything special? Y'all gearing up? What?
The only thing special I'm doing is gaining weight because the gym's closed. You know, I have no motivation at home. You know, there's no excuse. I can – a few days a week I'll go jog or something, but I have to go to the gym in order to get my motivation. So supposedly in 2 weeks it should be opening up. But other than that, I think a couple times I went fishing. But it's weird because it's like, you know, I have friends that live next door. Chris lives 5 minutes up the road, and, you know, it's just home. You know, I've ordered groceries and have them delivered. It's like not even going in. I even tweeted about it last week. I'm like, is it bad when you actually miss going into Walmart? You know, it's like it's so different now.
Yeah, I mean, luckily for me, I dropped some money months ago and built like a little home gym. I turned one of my extra bedrooms into a gym, and I haven't even used it until this started. So, actually, it took a worldwide pandemic to get me back in the gym.
Man, I hear you. I can't wait. That's one of the first things. Usually it's like hit that place where I can go get that cold beer, but I can get a cold beer on the refrigerator. But I really need to. I'm missing the gym for sure. Man. Mm-hmm.
Definitely convenient when it's just a couple rooms down.
Oh, no doubt. That's for sure. So, just so everybody understands, you know, Chris, you got all this shit stuff started when you were on the Ghost Academy, right? Isn't this how it all started for you, for the most part?
Well, that's how I was kind of introduced into the television aspect of it. I really kind of fell in love with the whole production process. I mean, I was ghost hunting for a while before that by myself, but then whenever I went to the Academy, did those couple episodes, had a lot of fun just being on the road, and came back home and founded the Wraith Chasers, and it's all kind of history from there.
Awesome. And Mike, you as a musician, worked in the entertainment business, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, a little over 15 years. I mean, that was still road life. You know, so that I'm used to living out of a suitcase, just traveling and touring and playing guitar and, you know, did 4 world tours, did a bunch of stuff, you know, so very blessed with that. And then it was, you know, long story short, I took time off the road. We're recording a new album. And at the time I knew Porter and Doogie from the gym. And I was like, I'm off the road. They were about to start a new season of Ghost Asylum. And I was like, get me a gig. And I got a production gig. And so I worked behind the scenes on that show, and, you know, I really dug it. You know, I've always believed in the paranormal, just never sought it out. But it's like working behind the scenes, you start getting a lot of, you know, just a lot more experiences. You know, I think I had experiences growing up. I just never chalked it up to paranormal, you know, just weird things right. that may have happened. But I think I became more and more open to it, I should say. But like Chris said, I love the creativity. I love behind the scenes as well. And, you know, even on production, it's like I loved every aspect of it. And that got the other gigs in production world. So it's like, you know, also at the same time, they kind of brought me on the team. But I still worked a few other things. They're like Wildin' Out with MTV, some stuff with Howie Mandel and Dennis Miller. So it's like, I still dig the production side of it, but, you know, I really like our shows a lot more.
Oh, yeah,
but,
absolutely.
You know, I really dig it. It's like when you're filming a place for, you know, 5-6 days in a location and in front of the camera, behind the camera, it's like you really get to, when you watch a 42-minute episode and you know what went into it, it's like you definitely have a lot more respect for it, you know, from everything from the activity we get all the way down to camera angles and, you know, what was done, what it needed to create that shot or that scene. So there's a lot that goes into it. So, I mean, I really like that creative side.
Very cool. Very
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, we already got some questions already coming in for you guys, which I knew it would. So one of the questions that came in is like, what location is each of you looking forward to hunting most when things open up? Which location?
Oh man,
besides
there's so
Granberry.
exactly. Definitely Granberry. We got Missouri State Penn coming up. We got Vail Mansion. That place was extremely cool. We did an episode of Haunted Towns last season there.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get back to the Thomas House too, man. The Thomas House in Red Bowling Springs. That's one of the one of our go-to places. Tracy City.
Yeah,
I mean,
y'all told
so
me a
many.
Lot about that Thomas House when we were together last, man. I'm like, man, I'd like to go see that myself.
And that's
yeah,
like being able to spend the night. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And another one
you
we're doing this year.
Your house, right?
Oh, yeah, that's like an hour from us. We're also hitting this year, I think in September, if I'm not mistaken, we hit it one time, and it blew my mind, was a Titanic Museum.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
In Branson. I mean, that's a $1 million question. You think, you know, spirits can attach to objects and stuff like that. So unless something's on those grounds there in Branson, to me, it's like the activity we got was around these artifacts. So, in my opinion, the question is, you know, the answer would be yes, that spirits can attach to this, you know, to objects, because we were getting crazy activity in the museum, and it's just mind blowing, that place, you know. Really, you know, it's one thing reading about the Titanic or watching the movie or any kind of documentary, but when you're actually seeing photos and looking at stuff that was brought up, you know, it's surreal. So I'm really looking forward to going back there too.
Very cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey,
absolutely.
Question number two. What experience has been your most memorable or frightening? Chris, go.
Oh, man, that puts me right on the spot. I would probably say when we did Haunted Live, when I had to go up and do a solo with just the Handycam by myself at Craigfont Mansion. They sent me upstairs in the nursery. That place is, in my opinion, the scariest place I've ever investigated. I mean, even visiting that place, if you're ever in Castaing Springs,
wow,
Tennessee, you guys should definitely take the tour at least. I don't think they allow ghost hunts. I mean, it took us years to get into that place, but it just has a very foreboding vibe, you know. There's very few places that I walk into and I have a feeling about, but that place, you just walk in and there's just this feeling of dread, and it scares the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely that. That's probably the most frightening for sure for me.
For me, I mean, any place I'm by myself is pretty scary. you know, let's face it. I mean, it always goes back to safety in numbers. Whether you're really safe or not, at least you feel that way. But
right.
I always when we get asked that question, I'm right up there with Chris with Craigfont when we got to investigate that place one time. I did one time, not filming. But when we were filming the episode there, I was doing surveillance. So it's like I'm seeing what they're seeing, and through my headphones, I can pick up, you know, I can hear they're all mic'd up, and I can hear them. But that was like the only episode where through their microphones, through Chris's microphone, doing it solo, you can hear heavy breathing, his heart racing. And so even though I feel like I'm outside in a safe spot, watching a TV screen, but when you can hear somebody's heartbeat and heavy breathing, and you know kind of feel their, you know, you're feeling their fear, you know, so that kind of made me scared outside, knowing
that
your buddy's in there scared. So it's like that's probably up there as one of the more frightening places, because it's like, man, this shit's real, you know. That really puts it in perspective.
In that moment, especially, like, even if you're not even by yourself, it's just like you, but you're still with you're still with the group that you're with, and you all have that same paranormal experience that none of y'all were expecting to have, and you get that trifecta of, holy crap, that just freaking happened.
Yeah.
So, we have another question. They would like to know, what is your favorite piece of equipment, and what would you recommend for a brand new ghost hunter to use when they go on their first investigation?
I heard the first part of the question. What was the second question?
what would you recommend that they would? What would they recommend for a newbie to have on their first investigation?
Oh, man, honestly, you know, I know Mike says the same thing. I think we both agree. The best piece of equipment is your own body, you know, what you can see, hear, feel, sometimes smell. I mean, I like to go into an investigation. I mean, if it's just me and we're not doing a group investigation or filming, I just kind of like to walk in a room with nothing and just kind of feel it out and just kind of get in a corner and see what happens. Because a lot of times they get more curious about that if you're not trying to interact, and sometimes they'll interact first. But if I had to say a piece of equipment for a newbie – electronically, I would say definitely a digital recorder. Just go to Walmart and buy a Sony or a Panasonic. I mean, that right there, in my opinion, is still the signature ghost hunting tool.
That's spot on. I mean, I'm 100% the same answer. Not to sound boring. It's like I feel the exact same.
No, you're right. You're right, because when I use when we do these private investigations and stuff, I go in by myself, with nothing. I keep everybody outside. I have to feel the house. I have to see what the house is trying to tell me when I go in. And I'm not clairvoyant, and I'm not a psychic or anything, but I know the feeling and what's going on. So I'm totally with you with that, Chris. That's awesome.
Brandon,
you have any
questions?
And I agree, too, because the first paranormal experience I ever had was, it was just us guys in the room. The next thing we hear is an old lady humming, and I'm like, what the heck was that?
Anybody who's just getting into this, I mean, the best thing that you can take away from a paranormal investigation is your own personal experience. I mean, I know a lot of people like to capture evidence so they can show other people, but you don't have to prove anything to yourself when you experience it firsthand. So if you're going out here and you're, you know, truly looking for an experience and you have that personal experience, you know, nobody can take that away from you. I think that's the best thing that you can take away. That beats any type of audio or video that you can take away, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, you can ask 9 out of 10 people, if you ask them, you know, what was their best experience you've ever had, 9 out of 10 that we've asked, they don't have a photo of it. They don't have an audio recording of it. They're like, man, this happened to me. I saw this. I felt that. Something touched me here. Just the feeling in that place. It's like 9 out of 10 people don't even have proof of it, but it was their personal experiences what their best piece of evidence was. So it's always nice
absolutely
to show it off, but, you know, that definitely is the best you can get.
Very true. That's very true. That's what, you know, I have to say real quick and interject with something here. So what made me a huge fan of you guys is not just seeing you guys on TV, but when I actually met you guys up in Oklahoma and in Kansas last year. You are absolutely down to earth paranormal investigators, ghost hunters. You're not out there trying to do all this other fancy smanchy stuff, you know, and every person that you come in contact with, whether it's a fan or whoever, you're not meeting a stranger. They're not meeting a stranger. You're not meeting a stranger. It's just, you bring everybody within your fold, and it's really awesome. You keep everybody cool, calm, and collected, and relaxed, and everything. So, when we do these events, and I know, doing several with you now, that's why you have such a big following, guys. Because you guys are right there, smiling for every picture, not turning away a hand, a picture with anybody or whatever, or conversations. You guys are pretty awesome with that, and you know. And I've seen a few others who are not so much like that. So that you guys are awesome. You guys are really down to earth and really good people and care about your fans and care about your family. You know, that's what makes you real. And I think that's why you have such a huge following. So when you talk about, you know, having that feeling when you go into an investigation and you're walking through and using your body, I think that it all just comes together that way, you know. So it just shows your spirit within yourself, because I know how passionate you are about life as well as the afterlife. So it's I just had to throw that in there before we get lost in all this in the sauce here. So anyway.
Oh, no, thank you so much, man. That's quite a compliment, man. And you guys, we had such a great time investigating with you guys. You put on a stellar event, super professional, down to earth. I mean, veterans. I mean, good Lord. Can't get any better than you guys. So thank you for that compliment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Mike, can't wait to do it again in November. But
oh, yeah.
And just so you know, he's a little bit more fancy with his words. That comes completely from me as well. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you, my boy.
You guys are awesome.
You're awesome.
You're awesome.
No, you're awesome.
So
we
got to
go ahead and ask the next question.
Yeah, we got
the fans out there,
because
they're coming in fast.
Oh, yeah. So the last one I asked was about the piece of equipment. So this one, they would like to know, do you find the most ghost activity during the day or night, and does it depend on the location?
I mean, I can jump in there and say we had them day and night. I mean, it just seems like... Mm-hmm. Nighttime, it's just less contamination, depending on where you're at, you know, less people on the streets and stuff like that. Let's face it, for TV, it's probably going to be more spooky that way. But we've had a lot of activity in quite a few locations that we've been to all during the day, and you know, morning, mm-hmm. afternoon. So it's you know, whatever lives in these locations. I mean, for us, they've been active. Doesn't matter what kind of what time of day. It just seems like TV and stuff like that is definitely going to be nighttime. You know.
Right. Yeah, I think a misconception about this is that it only happens at night, and it's not. It's just at night. The reason, as a paranormal investigator, we go at night is because it's a lot more quiet. More people are settled. They're at home. Less people are out. You know, less contamination. You know, birds, everything. I mean, there's so many different factors. But yeah, like Mike said, I know Old South Pittsburgh Hospital in Tennessee, we've caught some of the best visual evidence that we've ever caught on camera during the day, like in mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we were trying to debunk a photo that we had taken the night before that was really cool. And while we were trying to debunk that photo, we caught something else during the day. It looked like a floating nun or a nurse is the only way that we can describe it.
Wow.
It was about a foot off the floor, and it was just floating in midair, and we couldn't even explain it. So, yeah, I mean, they come out at all times. I don't think it matters day or night.
That's true.
That's very true. It's not on the clock. They want to let you know they're there. They're going to let you know they're there.
That's right. So question number six is there a holy grail, a bucket list place in all the world that you guys want to get to and investigate?
Oh, man. It's a big bucket. If I had to pick one, I would go in the U.S., it would probably never happen, but I would say the White House, I think, would be pretty badass.
Right.
Alcatraz would be number two, which is probably more doable. But I always said Alcatraz for the U.S., and then somebody had brought that up somewhere with the White House. I was like, you know what? I changed my answer. I was like, that would be amazing. But who knows? I doubt that would ever happen. Greg, hook that up. Maybe we can do that after,
yeah,
exactly. After November.
If you can get me in the Great Plan, I'll get you in the White House.
I would say for me, definitely the White House, but for me, it's always going to be the Bellwitch Cave right here in Tennessee. You know, in Adams, Tennessee, it's only about 45 minutes down the road from me, and it's just one of those places I've always wanted to investigate. And just because of different factors intervening, I mean, there were a couple times that we got access to the place, and then at the last minute, for whatever reason, because the cave was flooded or because the mayor
didn't want anybody
else coming in because there was another show that went and filmed there, and they kind of messed it up for everybody else. So I don't know if anybody will ever be able to go back in there and investigate. But as soon as they open that place up, I'm going to be the first one in line.
Our really good friend Becky Vickers and her group went up through there last year, and they couldn't get in there either for the same dang reason. So, man, that's crazy. Yeah, Bellwitch Cave, that's pretty awesome. All right, what made you a true believer? What was it, one interaction or just through time?
For me, it was one interaction. It happened to me in my early 20s. I saw what I can only describe now as what was a shadow person. I saw my grandfather's old barn. This guy was pretty tall. He was completely black from head to toe, moved faster than any human I've ever seen. And this was actually during the day. It was at about dusk. And, you know, up until that point, I didn't believe in ghosts. I mean, I would have been laughing listening to this podcast. But now, after I saw that, you know, it really changes your perception when you know that you've seen something supernatural. You can't dismiss it. So it just kind of made me more curious. And then I've had many experiences similar to that one, but none quite as impactful.
Wow.
Like I said before, I've always believed in it. If I was 10 and somebody said, "Do you believe in ghosts?" I'd be like, "Yeah." But, I mean, not that I could back it up. And I think I did have experiences. It's just over time,
right,
especially in the last handful of years, just been more open to it. But I've always believed in it, so it really wasn't one specific time, but those times became more specific as, you know, in the later years when I'm open to it and paying more attention to it, you know, but Yeah, it's something I've always believed in.
Right. Oh, that's pretty awesome. For me, it was I used to chase Indian spirits along the Brazos River down here and off mineral wells and stuff like that when I was a kid, teenager, and all the way up to the time I got married and went in the Army. But, yeah, that's pretty wild. Last question. A Kale from Oklahoma.
Hey.
Wants to know if y'all can adopt him.
If what?
If y'all can adopt him.
Oh, if we can adopt him. I need a new Kale at home.
Oh, man. So, guys, what you guys got coming up? What do you want to promote? You know, throw it all out there. This is your time.
Well, it's hard to say where we're going to be because we don't know. I mean, if we can say to everybody listening, do your part and stay safe until they do open things back up. But when they do, just go to TennesseeRaceChasers.com or you can look up Race Chasers on Facebook, and we are somewhere every single weekend unless the governor or whoever it is, you know, says it's not safe and then we have to bump it. But we're like I said, we were talking earlier, starting in May, we're from North Carolina at the Trevet Clinic. The week after that, we're at Missouri State Penn. Week after that, Battleship, North Carolina. Week after that, we're down in Kentucky doing Abner Gaines House, which we're excited about that. We've never been there. Then week after that, we're staying in Kentucky. We got four in a row, two days at Bobby Mackey's, 2 days at the Kentucky Slave House. Then we're heading up to New York, going to Rolling Hills for 2 days. So, I mean, we're hitting everything. So just everybody keep praying that everything gets safe and open back up and hit us up. We'd love to see everybody out there somewhere.
Yeah, and I mean, another thing, too, we're going to try, you know, if they do open things up, I mean, I know that just because things are open back up doesn't mean we're still not going to take precautions. So, you know, we'll be taking every single precaution possible. We're still going to be doing the social distance thing, you know, hand sanitizer stations, masks, the whole nine yards. I mean, even if we all have to wear a mask and stand 6 feet apart, we're still going to get out there and do some ghost hunting as long as they open it and as long as it's safe for everybody.
Awesome.
All right.
Brandon, you got anything?
Not really. I'm more excited. Anything just to, like, get back out there to do ghost hunting and seeing what you guys get when you guys go back out there and do your events as well. I do want to talk about Granbury real quick in November. We got another event coming up. I'm really excited about it. I'm sure you guys are as well.
Oh, man, we had a blast the last time we were there. That was awesome. So I know by November we'll be okay.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Then we'll be advertising that, and we'll bring you guys back on many times as you want and everything else, and especially after everything gets opened up and y'all are rocking and rolling and you want to tell everybody where you're at next and what's going on. We'll do that, and we'll continue the conversation. You guys are just amazing. You guys are awesome. You're down to earth. Mike is loving being a dad because I can tell because he posts a picture every day of his little lad on Facebook. That kid's got some hair.
I know.
I'm telling
you, get it for me.
He is wide eyed and bushy tails, man. He's
yeah.
ready.
What's up,
so
man,
awesome.
Is I still haven't been able to hang out with the guy because we've been in quarantine ever since he's been born. I got to see him for a couple minutes when he was first born at the hospital, but I haven't even got to mush the little guy yet.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully soon.
Yeah, he came
very soon.
Yeah, he came the week, I think it was the week after we left Granbury.
Yep. Sure did. Man. Well, that's awesome. Guys, thank y'all so much. You know, I can't
thank
you enough
for
coming out here and talking to us and everything. And Godspeed to you guys and bless your families and bless the fans out there that are listening and watching and following. And like you said, everybody stay safe and keep rocking and rolling at the same time.
Right
man,
on,
thanks
man.
So much
thank
for
you so much
me.
For having me.
You bet, man.
Thank you.
Guys,
see you guys. Thank you so much.
All right.
ill. Stay safe, stay healthy.